But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. There's, since this is Social Media Sunday, online quite often lately, I've been seeing this meme, and a meme is basically a picture that usually has some kind of, pithy little statement on it that supposedly makes a point. And there's one where you see the, basically it's one of those classic pictures from the child Bible of Jesus sitting on the hill, giving the sermon, from the Mount of the Beatitudes, the Blessed Bees. And you have Jesus, the little balloon by Jesus going, "Blessed be the poor." And then all of a sudden you have a little balloon from the crowd going, blessed be all lives, Jesus. And, and it's, what it's pointing out is sometimes our misunderstanding, sometimes our defensiveness, when we are looking at some of the inequalities in the world, we all have seen the response a lot of times when we hear Black Lives Matter to suddenly all lives matter. And I often think to myself, if all lives matter, you probably wouldn't be so, persistent in making sure everybody knows that, because the reality is that we are living in a time where, I don't think, I'm not going to try to pretend that there was this idea of equality really amongst us all along and that things have gone south. It's just that it's impossible now, I think, because of social media, to ignore the tragedies and the travesties that happen around us on a daily basis. Those things that maybe living out here, we may have been able to ignore as a city thing or something that happens over in that place, or, well, that's something we don't have to worry about. Because we are now, I don't know if you want to call us electronic, or digital, satellite, we're a world that is instantly connected. And because of this, we see things as they happen. It's not like we hear about, horrendous acts days later or by rumor or even hours later. We learn about things now. And that's part of being part of a global society. And sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed by these tragedies and these images. And sometimes when we feel like maybe we're being attacked, we lash out also on media. And we don't take time to listen to what's really going on. We don't pay attention. We don't have the conversation we need to be having. Instead, we want to react and say that, well, I'm just as important as that person. And nobody is going to argue that. We are all, and each and every one of us, important. But sometimes this gets forgotten. And we, as children of God, need to speak up and to sound off, to be the voice of those who may be voiceless, to put a face on our brothers and sisters. Because one of the tragedies, I think, of social media, I love social media, and I love being connected, but sometimes a tragedy is sometimes the faces become faceless. We still separate ourselves. We don't have that conversation because we get defensive. And we're called, as Paul tells us, to be righteous, to give ourselves to one another, to put our own selves aside for a moment and look and see what's happening around us and to say, what can we do to make a difference? You know, sometimes there's big acts. You know, sometimes they are people who stand up to protect rights. You know, those people who, you know, go out into the streets. And then there are people who write and make great thesis and, you know, and dissertations about it. Sometimes people have pulpits to speak from. But we can also, each and every one of us, act in smaller ways. You know, it doesn't always, you know, things that look small make a big difference. One example I often think about is when we hear a friend or colleague or family member making a remark that may be sexist or homophobic or racist. And instead of just ignoring that, to kindly, we're not talking about meanly, but just to kindly and lovingly speak up and to say, hey, this isn't cool. This isn't funny. We need to stop the violence from the very beginning. And sometimes that violence is of words. So my brothers and sisters, we as a people living in this global world filled with social media need to be willing to take our stand, to take our place, and to show what love truly is. Love is not ignoring or denying what is wrong. True love is speaking out. In our gospel today, we have the story of Lazarus the beggar. Now, Lazarus, we're told, is so poor that he is seeking scraps. Now, I'm hoping that nobody in this room has been to that point in your life or will ever be to that point in your life, but I have known and worked with people in that place. I know, you know, because of the work of the center and such, I know Wendy has worked with people who have, and I know some of you others who are out there have worked with people who literally have to go to the dumpster to find a meal, who are often just ignored on the street. You know, we pretend that they don't exist because, you know, we tell ourselves, well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, basically encourage panhandling, but where it really is we don't want to be uncomfortable, so we sometimes walk past these people. Or else we come up with excuses on why they are in this place. You know. Or why they are receiving abuse. You know, I think about how many times I've heard about people being attacked. You know. How many times have somebody heard, and might be a little disturbing at times, but how many times a person has heard of a woman who's been attacked who said, well, if she hadn't been dressed that way, or if the times we've heard people talking about somebody who's a part of the LGBT being bashed, it's like, well, maybe if they weren't being, you know, if they had been more quiet about their lives. Or we watch somebody of color being shot in the street and saying, well, maybe if they would have been living by the rules. In other words, we seem to make more excuses for the people creating the hurt in the world than we do standing up for those people being hurt. We look at the people like Lazarus and say, well, apparently, he must have done something to deserve his state of life. Now, also in the parable, we hear the rich man who's wearing robes of purple. Now, this is significant because not everybody was allowed to wear purple. Purple was the most expensive color to make at the time. And the only people allowed to wear purple in most cultures were either royalty or maybe members of the Roman Senate could wear, like, you know, a stripe of it. But it was one of those colors that were reserved for a certain group of people. And Jesus bringing up this whole idea of this person wearing purple, you know, that wasn't just a random bit of information. He wanted people to think about it. And because these are the people who apparently are people of privilege, and these are people that were often thought that, well, since they are so well off, since they are so powerful, since they hold authority, they must be pious people because they have been rewarded by God. And what's even worse is a lot of times the people in these positions get it in their head that this is true, that they are somehow righteous because they have all this wonderful thing. And then we see the great, as they always talk about, the great equalizer death. Here you have the person who is the least is brought up to heaven, who's brought up by heaven like by choirs of angels. He's flown up there and put into the bosom of, against the bosom of Abraham. He is given great comfort and reward in heaven. And here we see the righteous man, or the guy who we might mistake as righteous because he's wealthy, sitting there suffering in eternal damnation, begging for Abraham to allow Lazarus to come dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue just so he could have some relief, and not understanding why he should be there while Lazarus is over up there. And Abraham explaining to him how you took your comforts on earth. In other words, you ignored your brother Lazarus. And now in this life, you get to be the one ignored. And that has to be this message going through to him. And he starts understanding that there's nothing he's going to be able to do to change his lot. And he wants Abraham to now send a messenger to his brothers to say, hey, be careful. And you have Abraham explaining to him, they have got as many messages as you could ever want. And if they aren't paying attention, one more isn't going to help. Now, we keep on hearing these messages that we are called to help our brothers and sisters, that we are not supposed to judge. Instead, we are supposed to lift one another up. Now, I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to do so. As I said earlier, the example of speaking up when somebody makes a joke or a statement that is just not cool. But part of it is also is looking at what you put on social media. You know, I often find myself having to go back and sometimes retracting some of the things I put on. Because when I look at them afterwards, and I said, you know, I have to say to myself, oh, you know, in my head they sounded so good. But when I actually look at them and I, you know, what do they say, the most dangerous thing in life right now is the button that says send. And having to stop and think to yourself, you know, is this really how I want to say this? Is this how I want to represent myself as a follower of Christ? You know, as I said a few weeks ago, what would Jesus text? And sometimes it's choosing not to get into battles just for the sake of getting into battles. You know, we're living in an age where, you know, I was thinking about it, and in 2000, I think it was 2009, I finally got broke down and got a text message package. You know, you really think about it, 8 years ago. Our 6, 8 year, well, 7 years ago, I realized that suddenly I broke my 10 free text messages a month. And how I went for the 400 packet and still had plenty each month. And now, you know, I sit there and I look at how in just those few years, how everything is on, you know, so much communication is done on that phone. You know, I thought it was pretty spiffy in 2003 when I broke down and bought a cell phone. You know, and, you know, it flipped. There was no camera. There were no text options. And the only cell phone I had before that was when I was at work, and that was one of those things that, you know, was about the size of... But, you know, the thing is what, now that, you know, the great important message for Social Media Sunday, I think, and for our readings, especially when Paul talking to Timothy, is that times are always changing, and we have to sort of keep up with them. And sometimes it's hard because things will change suddenly in our lives. Like, you know, suddenly, you know, a few years ago, we were living in an age where it was pretty spiff, flip phones were, pretty exciting, to a life where we're dealing and trying to figure out how to live so globally, moment to moment. And it's going to take time for us to catch up, but a lot of it is paying attention to ourselves, realizing that other people, even though we may not be looking at them directly, they may not be in the room, that those people we're talking about are people. That like Lazarus, they are human beings with feelings and needs and comfort. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to be kind, to be loving, to live and be like Christ. Whether you're doing it speaking face to face over the telephone or through all the ways that, you know, our digital world offers us, to always remember that other person is your brother or your sister, deserving of your love, your respect, and your understanding. You may not always agree with them, but you can always love and respect them. You may debate once in a while, but you don't have to try to destroy somebody. In other words, live as Christ has called us to live. Continuing his letter, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called and for which you have made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus whose testimony is before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandments without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what was written before still continues to be. The love in which Christ preached doesn't change with technology. What does change is our need to be a little bit more hypervigilant, to be a little bit more willing to look past ourselves, and most important of all, to never lose sight that other person is our brother or our sister.